An ancient story from our tradition, the first really in our canon. This is chapter 2 of Genesis. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that God had done. And God rested on the seventh day from all the work that God had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that God had done in creation. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us, thanks be to God. A simple assignment. Breathe. Let's do an inhale and an exhale. A couple more of those. It is a cycle. It would be tough to leave one of them out. Both parts are important. Our story says on the seventh day, God rested. We just heard that. And what you didn't hear, though, was that the Hebrew word for refreshed, vinefesh, means exhale. The story says on the seventh day, God exhaled. Must have been a lot. Now, our culture is more inclined to inhaling, to taking in, do more, want more, be more, take in more information. Being busy can even be seen as a sign of importance. Although, given that, I'd like to be less important many days. But are our lives busy or full? There's a difference. Did you know that the Chinese pictograph for busy combines the symbols for heart and killing? The Christian mystic Thomas Merton actually went so far as to equate activism and overwork with violence. And so we might ask the question, are our lives structured not just to inhale, but to exhale as well? Do we know how to exhale and rest in the arms of God, in the cradle of creation? A big part of that first creation story in Genesis is the teaching of the importance of Sabbath to the Jewish community. It was a characteristic practice, as you may know, to stop all work on Friday at sundown, when the traditional Jewish day ends, and to enter into Sabbath time until the next sundown. You may remember a story told of Jesus walking with the disciples on the Sabbath. Do you remember? They plucked some heads of grain to eat. And the Pharisees, who tried to protect the people's piety and to respect Torah law through lots of rules, accused them of sinfully breaking the Sabbath. And Jesus' wise response was that the Sabbath was made for the people, not people for the Sabbath. So how can Sabbath be that sacred exhale for us? How might we learn from and be served by this teaching? Well, in the Lenten journey at this church, we've been invited to seek being full to the brim. That's our Lent theme. What I'm saying is that, as I said on Ash Wednesday, we can't really be vital and filled to the brim without the whole cycle, like the full cycle of breath. And likewise, we cannot be whole and vital without rest from our activity, our usual way. And our first sacred story that we just heard, the story of the seventh day, that's the story of the first great exhale. And so when I talk about Sabbath, I'm not talking about a return to dour and restrictive rules. You know, the fun church ones, like no dancing or card playing or visiting with people, or heaven forbid we frolic. Be afraid of frolicking, my friends. or so it's been said by some. What I'm talking about is the wisdom and the necessity of exhaling in the service of the cycle of life. And all you have to do is go back to that breath. And exhale. As the body works, if you exhale a couple of seconds longer than you inhale, your body will slow down. That's just how it's put together. And we do that cycle to bring us closer to rest and ever closer to stillness. Exhale, Sabbath. It completes the energy cycle of life. It puts it back into balance. You may remember in that first creation story, we're given an image of the earth as without form and void. At least that's one of the English translations. Maybe we could imagine a kind of chaos that seems empty. Creation happens then out of a kind of emptiness. We have to exhale in order to make room for the inhale. The womb has first to be in emptiness in order to be filled with the growing creation of a new life. And this emptiness is not so much a denial of life as it is of a letting go and a letting be. Now, in our human body, it's a chance to blow off carbon dioxide, to make room for more oxygen to come in. That's the life-giving cycle of respiration. Like that, the first creation story begins with a kind of emptiness and ends in a kind of emptying, a resting, a stillness, an exhale, or as that story says, a Sabbath. So let's not forget that like a hibernating animal, like a planted bulb or seed in winter, there is an appropriate and necessary time to rest, to lie fallow, to not do. So after college, I went to graduate school and became an exercise physiologist. You don't hear that every day in conversation. One of the most basic principles in the physiology of exercise is that we challenge the body in the exercise, and then the body adapts and responds and we get more fit. But the adaptation only happens during the rest. That's the rebuilding time. That's when we get more fit. How many of us trust that kind of cycle? How many of us here are practicing Sabbath rest? Now, I'm not talking about just laying down on the couch, although that's certainly tempting and maybe pleasurable, and it might even help. But I'm not really talking about kicking back and watching TV, although, you know, some quality viewing may occasionally be renewing. What we are invited into is a Sabbath space and time that has a sacred intention, a certain quality of delightful exhale, the kind that puts us back in touch with the blessedness of creation, the part of the first creation story when God says, "It is very good." Now, it was Pastor Jane Ann, before her recent sabbatical, who suggested that all church committees take time in our Lent season to have a kind of Sabbath moment, to take away from just that tangible committee work, set it aside for just a moment, and share in something like Bible study, prayer, and connection. Thanks for that suggestion. We did it in the last committee meeting I was in. She was inspired by the book titled Sabbath, Finding Rest, Renewal, and Delight in Our Busy Lives. Author Wayne Muller suggests there that we embrace Sabbath as a way of being in time where we remember who we are, remember what we know, and taste the gifts of spirit and eternity. Our worship celebration here and now could be a Sabbath practice if it helps us remember who we truly are. Images of God made of the dust of the stars. Humble mortal beings made of the dust, made of mud. A people called to grace and to justice. part of a wondrous creation with other wondrous creatures and features. Indeed, our worship celebration or any practice that we have can be a spirit Sabbath practice if it slows us down enough, focuses us enough toward spirit that we remember and feel again in our bodies and souls the grace of God and the gift of life. Any practice could be a Sabbath practice if it truly recreates in us that sense of rest, renewal, gratitude, and connection to the God mystery. It doesn't have to be Saturday or Sunday or a particular ritual or prayer, though those things might help. I think they often do. It's helpful to remember in our gospel stories, we often have Jesus going not toward the people and the crowds, but after his healing work and his teaching, away from them to solitude and prayer. One way to translate what is translated as prayer is to come to rest. Jesus went to come to rest. Now, let me be clear. It's not that Sabbath time is superior to work time. I'm not here to disrespect work time. It's that our work time is served by the wisdom and energy of balance and wholeness. Sabbath rest and its intention to be in a different way, that different way of being can find its own way to be creative. And it does that by serving our balance, our wholeness. That's where the vitality is. The spiritual paradox of this rest, this Sabbath rest, is that. In Taoism, they talk about the way of not doing and how that is generative. In the rabbinic tradition, it says that on the seventh day, God created menuah, translated as tranquility, serenity, peace, repose. The Jewish tradition also says that on the Sabbath, we are given an extra soul. Did you know that? Wondering where you might have left it? You have it. It's called a neshama yetera, a Sabbath soul which more fully appreciates the blessings of life and the fruits of our labor. Maybe we neglect residing in that soul. How are we nurturing that soul? Sometimes it's simple. I watched for years my dad come home from work, empty his pockets, and often change his clothes. It was a simple ritual of shifting from work, that life, to home life. And now I love the moment when I get home and empty my pockets of keys and cell phone and all the things I use in the outside world of work and marketplace. I empty my pockets and exhale. Even this could be a Sabbath moment on any day if I use it to really slow down, breathe, and pause to appreciate the gift of the day, the gift of life, the whole thing. I want to tell you, even if you are not working outside the home, even if you're retired, even if you're not doing as much as you once did, you are not exempt from the call to Sabbath. For it's possible to fill all of our not doing time with things that don't help us exhale, truly rest and renew in the whole-making spirit of the divine. And that's simply because Sabbath is not just a time or even space or even place that we reserve. It's also a quality of presence. It's a quality of consciousness. That's what we're after. That's where it happens. When we get there, there's a kind of effortless and nourishing rest. There's a stillness that can produce a unique kind of renewal and insight. There might even be some dancing or singing. It's whatever that practice is that brings us to an awareness, a return to that greater perspective, a sacred perspective that has a quality of depth and delight. that helps us rebalance and recreate. It's a time, a way, a quality that helps us remember and feel that we belong to God. We belong to the mystery. And we are here for love. Loving ourselves, loving each other, loving creation. There's a poem I'd like to share by a poet named Jane Kenyon. It may help us feel into this Sabbath quality. And this poem is related to the traditional Jewish day, beginning in the darkness right after sundown. That's why it's titled, Let Evening Come. Let the light of late afternoon shine through chinks in the barn, moving up the bales as the sun moves down. Let the cricket take up chafing as a woman takes up her needles and her yarn. Let evening come. Let dew collect on the hoe, abandon in long grass. Let the stars appear and the moon disclose her silver horn. Let the fox go back to its sandy den. Let the wind die down. Let the shed go black inside. Let evening come. To the bottle in the ditch, to the scoop in the oats, to air in the lung, let evening come. Let it come as it will, and don't be afraid. God does not leave us comfortless, so let evening come. So my friends, as we continue in a Lenten journey of becoming full to the brim, I invite us to remember that there are rhythms and cycles that make for life, that make possible our coming back to acting for compassion and justice, to acting in service and offering a helping hand. No matter our age or stage, in our lives and in our culture, we can distort those rhythms and cycles, and then distort and compromise the life force that sustains us and creation, not allowing ourselves or the earth to exhale, to rest, to renew. Let us remember, God exhaled on the seventh day, resting and savoring the blessing that is life. Today, the sacred invitation is simple. Remember that seventh day and exhale. Amen.